We are in the recording studio at StoneCom for a program called Local Matters, and one of the most important local matters is a person, actually, who I've known for some years, who matters a great deal to this community, and that is Becky Magura. And Becky Magura has been with WCT for several years, and I will just ask you that as a starter, how many years?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, honestly, Louis, this year I walked in the door of WCTE, which is our PBS station, a full PBS member, 40 years ago this year.
I can't believe
that.
As an intern,
I was the station's first student intern.
Wow.
The equipment wasn't even hooked up. They were hooking it up at the time. And I was starting graduate school at Tennessee Tech University, and I was wanting to combine an education degree with a communications degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I had actually gone on a school visit to Pepperdine University in California.
Sure.
Because
in Malibu, correct?
In Malibu. Yes. It is in Malibu. Yes. And I was thinking, oh, graduate student housing is on the Malibu Beach.
Malibu.
That would be really cool. And actually, at the time, they were giving a lot of really great scholarships to Southern students who wanted to go to school in California. And so I, along with Cindy Whitaker Putman, who is my friend and was a theater major, and Cindy, we had a theater professor, Jerry Henderson, out there, Dr. Henderson, and he said, oh, Becky, they're giving like scholarships to this communications program. You should really look at it. So I did, and I came back to school, and my advisor said, did you go look at a school over break? And I said, actually, I did, and it was Dr. Mary Ayers, and she said, well, do you know they're going to open up a PBS station here? And I said, oh, Dr. Ayers, they're not going to open a PBS station up in Cookeville.
Wow.
And I said, what I want to do is combine education and communications, and I need to go somewhere where I can do that. And that's when she said, well, Dean Quattlebaum and I have been talking, and we're going to get you an internship in this PBS station. And they weren't fooling. It really was going to happen. That was in March. And in that fall semester, I started.
That's amazing.
Of 1980.
When you said Pepperdine and you said Malibu, the first question that was going to pop out of my mouth before you said it was, did you ever work with Dr. Jerry Henderson? And for listeners both locally and around the world that don't know, for Becky and I, Dr. Henderson was a luminary in theater, a great writer who gave me, for one, the opportunity to start professional theater at an age that most kids were still doing theater at school. And in the summer of 77, I think it was,
wow,
I got to go to several towns in throughout Tennessee touring with this one play that he had been asked to write,
mm-hmm,
that had something thematically related to the bicentennial and Tennessee's history. And to this day, I'll always remember, I'm the guy that I cut my theater I teeth with, so to speak. And
right,
I've always admired him and have this dream, as you've heard of the many dreams I have for doing back here in Cookeville, a revival of that play, which was called The Little Box
of Winter Seed.
Yes.
That's right.
So it's amazing that over the years, you and I have just been connected hand in hand with, mm-hmm, so many of these people and have yet to really connect hand in hand on projects together.
And right,
we could talk to our listeners about some ideas that, you know, we've been germinating and just discussed before. But I'm with Becky Magura, and one of the things that I do want to say is what a great influence PBS was on me. And my earliest memory, oddly, was when I was in my teens at 14. So I must have discovered it late.
Hmm.
But that's because television used to have a dial channel,
right,
that you'd have to go searching. And
right,
was it on channel 13 at the time?
No, it wouldn't have been. It would have been channel 22. Because we were now, you know, it could have been on a cable channel. You're younger than me, so it could have been a cable channel.
This is pre-cable. No, we had an antenna, and one day we were at home after school dialing. It wasn't UHF versus VHF,
It was a UHF.
It was a UHF.
It was a UHF channel 22. It still is, actually. Even though we went through the digital transition, we're still a UHF 22.
Okay.
And my guess is there were only probably three channels you could get besides us. So you probably went from ABC and NBC and CBS and maybe Nashville Public Television. I'm not sure. They would have been channel eight, but their broadcast signal probably didn't get quite this far. That's why we were here. That's why they placed us here.
Yes.
And then you switch over to 22. Right. And there we are. And we had one channel, one content providing channel that had kids content. And then at nighttime, it had the prime time. And then if you remember, Larry Stone and I talked about this recently. You signed off. You know, stations signed off at midnight, remember?
Yes.
And you played the national anthem.
Yes.
And then you went to a test pattern or you went dark.
Yes.
Until the next morning.
Yep.
And boy, have those times changed.
Yes,
now we have four different digital channels and we're on lots of streaming.
For anybody young, their earliest memory of a television going off the air was probably the original version of the horror movie Poltergeist, in which there's dead air at the end of the night, and I think maybe the national anthem, and some stations played the poem, which started with "I have slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the sky on laughter's silvered wings." High Flight.
Yes. Very good, man. You pulled that out of the depths.
It was also vivid for me because it was so different. I mean, I remember first seeing this yellow bird talking to an imaginary elephant, which, as we all know, is a metaphor on our belief, something that we hold fast to that maybe somebody else doesn't see or agree with. And now we all argue about the elephant in the living room, so to speak,
politics.
And you and I both have a great way of steering of that. I think it's both our love and our desire to bring people together that I don't know about you, but I just say to folks, they start talking politics. I say, let's go back at least two eras with old etiquette that says we don't discuss politics or religion over dinner.
Right.
And we get along.
That's right.
So, but my earliest memory was that. And I don't know if it was your PBS station or Nashville's, which carried what was then known as, I think the name was the International Animation Festival, hosted by Gene Marsh.
Mm.
And I have for years hoped that they would get that onto DVD, but that's a complication of rights.
Oh, it is.
Never happen.
Right.
Yeah, Becky Magura, who I'm in the studio with, who's with our local PBS provider, makes a lot of things happen. And what do you have on the plate next that you're making happen?
Well, you know, we're just working on a lot of different things. And like I just said, we're trying to be in as many places as people consume content. So one of the things I'm very fortunate with is I serve on the National PBS Board. I'm on the executive board for PBS. So five times a year, I go to Washington, D.C., and we meet and discuss how public broadcasting needs to be where people are consuming content. So we just in the last little bit got on YouTube TV. So our actual channel is on YouTube TV.
That's great.
Yeah, it is exciting. Yeah. It's our first streaming opportunity with the main channel. We also have our PBS Kids channel there. And I know PBS is brokering other deals. You know, it's a unique system, PBS, because it's not a network. It's not like ABC or NBC or CBS, where the national sort of dictates down to the local what you're going to do. We do have a core programming lineup during the week so that we can make the most of promoting that with PBS, but we're a member organization. So WCT is a full PBS member.
Yes.
We pay PBS back for the content and the services we receive. We get federal dollars to help us offset that sum, but it's also a private-public partnership. You're a member, and that makes all the difference. When we have private donors like you, individual donors who help support that government content created fund. So what I'm learning on a national level has been really, really interesting. And it helps me bring ideas back to our station. It also helps us have opportunities at our station, like when Ken Burns stopped here on his country music tour. I mean, to have him kick off his Tennessee tour out of Cookeville, Tennessee, that's a pretty big deal.
It is.
So we've had some of those really incredible opportunities, and what we're going to work on next that we would really love to have you involved in, and we would love people to participate in, is our first film festival. We're going to have a public media film festival coming in August.
No kidding.
We're partnering with the Cookeville Performing Arts Center, CPAC. And we're encouraging people. What we're wanting to do is create a pathway of producers and content creators to provide content for public media. So we would take the winning pieces and they would go through PBS on WCTE. But then we would offer them to PBS and PBS stations the winning entries for their usage if they want them. And we'll give some prize money. And so that's just getting started.
That's fantastic.
It'll be short. We're looking for digital shorts and yes. also completed documentaries. That's what we're really looking for.
Interesting. I'll introduce you to a friend of mine, Deirdre Hodge, who started what is considered arguably the best documentary film festival in the country, which takes place out of Raleigh-Durham some years
perfect.
Ago. And would love to have you two talk and bring her here and you two can have a conversation.
That would be great.
I've known her for years. And I had worked on doing some what I were calling mini documentaries. I'm a recorder of history in an obsessive sort of way that's based on an old quote, which I have probably said on the air before, but I'll say again, but from Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass, the quote is simply, "The horror of that moment," the king went on, "I shall never, never forget." "You will, though," the queen said, "unless you make a memorandum of it." So, you know, we have Becky Magoor in the studio from PBS, and she's been making memorandums of several things along the way with her work with PBS. And it's important to tell history, and history is told not just through writing and history books, but through art and music and editorial cartoons, for example.
Yes.
Cartoonists in general. You know, I've hosted exhibits about cartoons, so we all have to think outside of the box in ways that we stay relevant and people are interested in us.
So absolutely.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes. It's so much fun listening to Becky Magoor and learning so much about her, even though I've known her for years. But we also have some people to listen to in the way of our sponsors who help make this program possible. So come right back and we'll talk a little bit more with Becky Magoor.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
We are back in the studio. I'm Lewis Matheny with our program Local Matters, and we're talking to Becky Magoor, who has been a driving force with our local PBS provider for many, many years, and event after event over the years has made the station the great station that it is. And Becky, we were just going to talk about something coming up in late February that I think will be of interest to our listeners.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we were talking about our film festival and independent film, and PBS is the home of independent film. If you look at POV, which stands for Point of View, mm-hmm. those are all great documentaries, and then also Independent Lens. And so we're an indie lens pop-up station. And what that means is we partner with
Let me ask you to say that one more time.
Okay.
I love that, and I can see it on a T-shirt. We are
an indie lens pop-up station.
Love it.
Isn't it great?
It is.
It is.
Yes. Tell me more.
So it's a partnership with ITVS out of California. They are the curators of independent lens and also POV and other filmmakers, independent filmmakers. And so we partner with them in having 5 screenings a year. And we do those at Tennessee Tech's Backdoor Playhouse. And so right now we'll have one in January, but we're also having one come up at the end of February. And we would love for people to come. These are free screenings. We always have a follow-up discussion afterwards. We open the doors at 5:30. We start the film at 6. It's on a Tuesday night. And the one that's coming up will be on February 25th. It's called Bedlam. And it really deals about mental illness.
Great.
And so I think it's always a topic of impact that we just deal with in our country and in our day-to-day lives. And so I think what is the best part about watching these films together and being there in a collective moment is when it's over, you have a time to just really reflect about what that film meant in our community and what it means in your own personal life. And then we'll have someone with us that can help discuss that topic.
That's great to know.
So it'll be great. So I hope folks will really take part. They can go on our website and look at all the events that we have coming up.
Right.
But I think that one is going to be really, really great.
You know, in talking to Becky Magura, who's in the studio with me, we heard two things mentioned before that listeners on a worldwide level may not be aware of. And that is we live in a town which has a wonderful, primarily engineering school, but several other great departments. And it also included some theater and has its own a theater that's been there for I don't know how many years, but I was on that stage when I was 12 or 13. And
Jerry Henderson was the
theater director, correct?
At Backdoor Playhouse.
Yes, yes. So Backdoor Playhouse, I have not stepped in years, but we have so many great venues like that in which our community is mutually supportive. And we've got a wonderful performing arts center here as well. But I can't think of a better location for that. You know, we're having Tennessee Tech University pull together and Backdoor Playhouse and whoever's involved in that.
That's right. Well, Mark Kreider. And then of course, we've got at CPAC, Cobble Performing Arts Center. And as our film festival grows, of course, we'll be utilizing Backdoor Playhouse is very interested. Even the AMC Theater is interested. So I think as we grow this festival, you know, we're going to start out small this August. We're not going to try to get to, we're not going to get the, you know, the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
And we're going to start small and start with the Cobble Performing Arts Center.
Sure, yeah.
And it could be a 3-day festival. It could be a 1-day festival. But the main thing is we really want to start celebrating our own local filmmakers.
That's great.
Our own local content creators and give people an opportunity to find a path for that content to go out further. And, you know, WCT has done a lot with Bluegrass Underground and Jammin' at Hippie Jacks. And now we have Barnegie Hall and Smithville Fiddler's Jamboree. We've had lots of music shows go out as well as a lot of documentaries.
That's great. You know, and my friend Deirdre Hodge will be listening to this since this is a worldwide podcast. So I will say to Deirdre now on the air, I'm going to throw down the gauntlet and say to you, what is it you can do to bring some of the films from this festival to there and we can interconnect.
Awesome.
Her film festival, by the way, is called Full Frame Documentary Film Festival,
okay,
which she herself started years ago. And
I can't wait to meet her.
You got to get tickets to 6 months in advance.
Oh, I bet.
Another creative mind bringing people together who understand that arts are as important as teaching history when it comes to understanding history.
Right.
You know, so much of what we put into our art as artists is related to what we're feeling and experiencing at the time, you know, and if you study it, you see history in it.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
So you've been making history for several years now in Cookeville.
Yes, I guess so.
I know. I can see you, and that your humility is great, and it's been the driving force behind. I think if you were in front of this and always in front of the camera and the type to brag and sort of toot your own horn, then PBS would get left behind.
Well,
it's those of us that are pushing the cart from behind when it gets stuck in the mud that keeps the cart going. And
you've
been doing that for many years now. And you have wonderful staff there, one of whom we were hoping to have in today that we might bring in later, who is Avery Hutchins. And then the Underground Bluegrass.
Yes,
Festival.
Bluegrass Underground.
Bluegrass Underground. I've never been. I hear it's great for people from around the country who might want to come here and hear and listen to this. Give us an overview of this. It's absolutely fascinating.
Well, we do have a great team, and I'm so appreciative of you mentioning that, recognizing that. We have a wonderful staff at WCT currently, but also over the many years, who have made this station what it is. And we're recognized nationally as being like the little engine that could, you know, the small PBS station that is really fortunate to put out national content and be really committed locally, putting out a lot of local content. But Bluegrass Underground is in its 10th season on PBS. It's produced by Todd Jarrell and Todd Mayo, They live in Nashville now, but it started years ago when Todd, and they'll tell you this story, started at Cumberland Caverns in Warren County. It now is in the Caverns in Grundy County, so just one county over, really. Mm-hmm. And if you go to thecaverns.com and check out their site, you can see clips of Bluegrass Underground. But Bluegrass Underground is a series that is literally taped usually in one weekend. All 12 shows, four shows a day.
You can, In a cave. In a cave.
And it's beautiful.
I wanted to make sure we said
that. Yeah,
that's
right. It is in a cave. And it is such an experience, you know. Todd Mayo likes to describe it as it's like Nova meets Great Performances, you know, or Nova meets Austin City Limits, because you get this incredible musical experience, but you're in the middle of a cave.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. The lighting's beautiful. The new venue has all kinds of great concessions, and it has food and beverages of your choice, and just really great, a great venue. So I highly encourage people to look it out. You know where it is? It's close to Suwannee. Have you ever been to the University of the South?
I have, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's right down the mountain from Suwannee.
Yeah. You may or may not know that some years ago I drove what many listeners who are a bit younger may not even understand the term bookmobile.
Oh, yeah.
We provided books to remote parts of the region. We covered nine counties, and we were, you could say, the equivalent of a UPS van filled with books. And we would go to community centers, grocery stores, people's homes, churches, anywhere that would allow us to drop a few books for people who lived in an era when they really couldn't afford a car, so to speak,
right,
to go to a local library that might be about 10 miles away. And long before we had the internet and television and that kind of thing. So all of these great counties, and you've had a chance to explore so many of them. I think that if people land in Cookeville, they could be for days going, you know, east, west, north,
right,
and south, and discovering some of the greatest,
right,
topographical, you know, landscape. And the idea that you're going down underground and bringing music to silence, you know,
mm-hmm,
music that somehow finds its way,
right,
you know, up and out of the earth, quite literally,
oh,
on some level. And
absolutely.
It's so exciting, you know.
Well, and it was such a clever idea. They were already, Todd Mayo was already doing a radio show. And then Todd Gerald, who worked with us as an independent producer, still works with us a lot as an independent producer, went to do a story on it, actually. And Todd Mayo mentioned to Todd, they now go by the name Todd Squared, by the way. He said, look, you know, as great of a radio show as this is, it ought to be a television show. And Todd said, well, just by chance, I work with a small PBS station in Cookeville.
Well,
and I think they would be interested. And so we got that first season off the ground. We brought all of our brand new HD production equipment down into the cave. We built out a production studio inside of there. We shot 12 shows in one weekend, got it to PBS, and it's now in its 10th season. We now are not the producing station. We are the presenting station.
I see.
So it still goes out nationally with WCTE's logo on it, and we participate in their taping weekend by shooting all the interviews.
But that started here.
Oh,
correct?
It started here.
Yeah, this wasn't
started
something that
here.
You picked up from the larger station brought to here.
No, it's and amazing. It wouldn't have happened without us.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
And we've worked on so many projects with Todd and Todd. We went to Cuba with Great Performances and did Havana Time Machine.
Mm.
We were a part of that. We were a part of Songwriting with Soldiers. And we've done a lot of shows with them. And it'll be interesting. We got one coming out in March that'll be national on PBS with Billy Deck. Do you know who Billy is?
I do not.
Billy is, he's got a restaurant in Nashville called Sunda, S-U-N-D-A, Sunda. And Billy has been on the Today Show. He's like a television personality, he's an actor, but he's also a chef and is going to do a new series called Food Roots, the Philippines.
Love it.
I know.
Well, and then for people that are listening around the world to this as a podcast and want to find their way to you locally,
yes,
you would say to do what? Go online?
To WCTE.org. Or they can download our app, We have our own app.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
wow.
If they go to pbs.org, they should just localize to WCTE.
I think there's a great opportunity for PBS and not-for-profits to see themselves being connected to a younger demographic by way of this. And I know you and I have talked about this before, and we'll have you back in again to talk
okay,
some more about
fun.
This. And I have so enjoyed talking to Becky Magura with WCT's PBS in Cookeville, Tennessee on Local Matters.